This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Today on the Breakfast Grill, I am talking to Professor Rebecca Taylor, the Chief Executive of the University of Southampton, Malaysia. Professor, or Rebecca, thank you for talking to me. Now, obviously, you talk about how Southampton University in Malaysia, 66th ranked in the QS University rankings, QS being Quaccarelli-Simons, one of the most, you know, obviously observed university rankings in the world. You also say that you're the top UK university in Malaysia. So, from the standpoint of parents and students, yeah, what does that mean in terms of being the top UK university? And I think also more pertinently, maybe, how are those rankings are formulated?
Sure. So thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it. It's always nice to be able to talk about what we're doing here in Malaysia and also our link back to the University of Southampton, UK. So you're absolutely right. I think just to give a little bit of context, there's over 10,000 universities across the world doing all sorts of different things, different specialisms, etc. And so we have different ranking systems globally that look at, you know, how do universities perform in different areas, different ways. And so the QS ranking, the one that you're referring to, is one of the most recognized. And in that QS ranking system, Southampton is ranked 77th, actually, globally. And so what we have underneath that is we always have some sub-rankings, so sub-rankings by discipline, etc. But overall, the University of Southampton is ranked 77th in the world. So when you refer to the top university in UK university in Malaysia, that is also linked to that ranking system, so that reference to 77th in the world. And that's based on a number of things. It's based on research, it's based on aspects of teaching and learning, it's based on aspects of, you know, student feedback, etc. So there's a whole variety of criteria that go into making up that ranking. One of the things that I think is probably worth pointing out is that having branch campuses, UK branch campuses in Malaysia, what it offers is students an opportunity to get a British education, a British higher education, but in a much more flexible way. So they can either come and study in Malaysia and then maybe transfer and do some part of that study in the UK, or in fact, as the branch campuses grow, and Southampton has seen this certainly over the last couple of years, is it gives students also a chance to come and get a British education and study wholly in Malaysia. So they start and finish here. So all sorts of different flexible models, but getting the same education as they would get as if they went wholly and studied in another country.
Yeah, I understand. And of course, one of the largest, you know, most important tenets of the QS rankings are the research citations. And of course, even the Times University rankings has research citations as one of the centerpieces of their rankings. The thing is, in terms of applicability in an era where obviously the world is a very fast-changing one, Rebecca, and technology seems to be the centerpiece of employability and, of course, remuneration as a result. I mean, when I look at Facebook or Meta's jobs page, yeah, 3,000 jobs on posted, yeah, 24% of those jobs are for AR, VR roles. And, you know, specifically speaking, universities tend to be way behind the curve when it comes to offering courses that speak directly to the zeitgeist, if you like. How would you respond to pushbacks that universities, tertiary university education, are way behind the curve when these things are concerned?
So that's a great question, and actually, there's a lot in it. So I'm just gonna touch on a few areas. So in terms of research, when you sort of talk about research, so you're absolutely right that is one of the key aspects of rankings. So is the world-class research being done at universities? And yes, indeed, it's the world-class research that's being done at those higher-ranked universities. The reason that that's significant is because what the students are getting in their learning is they're getting that direct connection with that relevant world-class research. So the academics, they take that research and they feed it directly into the teaching, and the students get that firsthand. And so that means that their learning is particularly relevant, it's connected, it's current, So that's why the research is critically important. But you've raised a couple of other issues around things like applicability and employability. So we have a very high employability rate. We're very proud of it. So 94% of our students are employed in industry or you know, whichever sector they've actually chosen, but within 6 months of graduating from, and that's a very high figure. We're very proud of that. So one of the things that makes that possible, that makes that happen, is that we are constantly looking for ways to bridge that gap between graduate skills, so the skills that graduates come out of their degree with, and employer expectations. So I think one of the things you're touching on is there's a kind of ongoing narrative about how there's a gap between those two things, skills that students come out of university with and the employer expectations. We're very aware of that. We participate in a lot of those narratives. We talk a lot to industry to understand those expectations. And then we do things in order to bridge that gap as part of the student experience. So just examples would be things like master classes from industry partners. It's about joint projects. It's about collaborations. It's about industry visits during their studies. All of those things that start to help students develop some of those critical skills that match employers' expectations, but also about us understanding more the employer expectations and embedding those early into the programs as the students are learning. So yeah, definitely that's an issue, and it's certainly something that Southampton focuses on very strongly.
Well, absolutely. And a lot of pushbacks where Malaysian graduates are concerned is the lack of communication skills and interpersonal skills necessarily. I think what I'm referring to, Rebecca, in terms of the Meta example, yeah, is the fact that there's disemployment and then there's employment, yeah? So at the thick end of the wedge, I presume it's not that difficult to get employment in an economy which is growing at least 4% to 5% a year, and that's a commonality across ASEAN. So if you come from a good university and if you get a good applicable course, it's not difficult to get a job. It's the courses in the tier one companies, whether it's Alphabet or Tesla or Waymo or one of these new places where there's a real crunch for quality people. And I think the big conundrum for education and for students as well is the fact that they can't necessarily get access to these kinds of courses to get jobs in these kinds of places unless they get into the Stanfords or the Imperials of this world or the Cambridges of this world, you know, which obviously sit in the top 10 of the QS rankings. So, I mean, I looked at your University of Southampton Malaysia website, and I think the closest approximation of those kind of degrees is a computer science degree, yeah? And that's, I think, the closest. The rest of it is your typical vanilla engineering, mechanical engineering, civil engineering, law, marketing, kind of degrees. And they seem to be relatively limited versus what you might get from an American university, for example. I mean, how would you respond?
So, again, a lot there. I would just flag a few things. So we do have a computer science degree. We also have a whole suite of business degrees that bring in different skills. We reach out, make sure that students are having a lot of different sort of range of experiences. I just, by example, we have just opened yesterday, actually, a 12-terminal Bloomberg suite here so that we can actually give students a lot of hands-on experience and give them those sorts of skills. I would say across engineering. So engineering suite was the first suite of programs that we established when we set up the University of Southampton Malaysia in 2012. We do a lot of problem-based learning. We do a lot of industry engagement. And we've now, I don't know if people are aware, but we've now moved from an old, smaller campus with quite limited facilities to a new purpose-built campus with absolutely world-class facilities. So that's been a big change for us. But just going back to the employability skills, as you mentioned, because I think there's something really important there. So there's students come out of the undergraduate program, you know, very, very strongly sort of embedded or having spent sort of 3-4 years on sort of theoretical material. And then it's, what have they done with that during that program? And that's what Southampton does so well. So that problem-based, that engagement, that connection, that work experience, those sorts of things all make a huge difference. It's not just that the students are learning the material, they are then understanding how to apply it. And that's a very, very strong focus of all Southampton programs. But You're absolutely right. One of the words that you mentioned earlier was, you know, things like communication. Maybe you might have thrown in teamwork, things like that. Those are the soft skills, skills that also employers say, you know, sometimes we'll get people into the company, but actually they don't have some of those soft skills. So we focus very heavily on the soft skills. We do that by embedding that in their learning as they go. So lots of different types of assessment, lots of different ways of learning and understanding and working. But also one of the newer things is around a short course portfolio. So we can talk about lifelong learning, and that's reaching out and engaging people who are already in careers and are looking to come back and do some short courses to upskill. But also, and this is the very relevant bit for current students and prospective students, is that we're taking our short course portfolio, which has a lot of soft skill development in it. So it has the communication, the teamwork, project management. It's also putting in strategy, leadership, and some computer science, some cybersecurity, all of those. So we have this portfolio of short courses, and we've decided that we are going to offer those out free to all of our undergraduate students that they can do alongside their degree program, but it's really promoting the employability agenda. So in addition to coming out with their chosen degree, they also come out with certificates around some of those additional employability skills that make them even that much more marketable, not just locally in the sort of local market, but actually internationally as well.
I'm talking this morning to Professor Rebecca Taylor, the Chief Executive of the University of Southampton, Malaysia. And of course, we're discussing the whole spectrum of education. We'll come back after this, Rebecca, and talk about how education as we know it is evolving and really, really fast. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
I'm talking this morning to Professor Rebecca Taylor, the Chief Executive of the University of Southampton, Malaysia. Now, Rebecca, as we know it, education is evolving really, really fast. And of course, one of the biggest pushbacks for university is the affordability or the lack thereof. A lot of students, in fact, the vast majority of them graduate with huge burdensome student loans. And then this is what they call a crisis of completion. Only about half of matriculating students ever complete a degree. And of course, in America, only about 40% of graduates employed, and then a lot of them leave their employment within the first 1 to 3 years because obviously it might not have been a good fit for them. So I guess my question to you is at a more macro level, yeah, and how basically tertiary institutions are responding to this, or are you responding too slowly? Because these are huge tectonic shifts, which a lot of people are obviously fleeing from in terms of their approach to education, whether from a student standpoint or from a parent standpoint.
Yeah, really good point. Because of course, if people are going to invest in higher education, they want their children to, enjoy the experience, to learn a lot, to succeed, and to have a flourishing career after that. So of course, that's the ambition and reasonably the expectation. So again, we think very carefully about, very aware of things like that. We think very carefully about that. So that's where I would flag a few of the characteristics of studying for a degree at Southampton, whether you choose computer science or engineering or business. So it's very much about supporting the student. So in terms of logistics, we have a very low staff-student ratio here. So in many large universities, they have a staff-student ratio of about sort of 24 students to one member of staff. So that's the kind of sort of support structure that you're looking at. Here at Southampton, Malaysia, we're closer to about 9 to 1. So the students get a huge amount of personal support as they go through their programs, and they develop very close relationships with their with our academics and our teaching staff. So in that sense, that support is critical, and there's a direct correlation between that and the high retention rate of students and seeing them through and supporting them through. And yeah, that means that where students have a little bit, sometimes they have a bit of a wobble at various points in the degree. And actually, when they're in an institution where that support isn't so available, or they might be really questioning what they're doing, actually, that's where you can see them falling out. And we don't have that.
Well, that's the thing, Rebecca. I mean, when I talk to you about these pushbacks, they're pushbacks at a more structural level rather than the more granular level. Granular level meaning things like student to lecturer ratios and interpersonal skills and social skills. I mean, those are requirements at a current stage, but at a more structural level, students might not want to be going through a 3-year degree program, a 4-year degree program, way too expensive, not responsive enough at an academic level to deal with a fast-moving technology industry landscape, yeah? And that's where the real omissions are lying. And it sounds as if, you know, tertiary institutions are really not aware of these changes that are happening underfoot.
Maybe I would challenge that. I think we certainly are aware of that. We, you know, there are... I think it's really important that what we're saying is we're not bringing students in and just, you know, keeping them in a very sort of, it's not sort of a very inward looking experience without them really understanding what is the purpose of what they're learning. Actually, yeah, if it's a 3-year degree and during that degree, they're actually getting a lot of interaction externally as well. They're getting a lot of interaction with industry partners. They're really understanding what is the application of a lot of what I'm learning. Then actually that's giving them a much broader experience than just feeling like they're sort of locked in a classroom for 3 years and then they're sort of set loose in the world and then they have to sort of find their way. We absolutely use that time to help bridge that gap and bring them into employment with a lot of those sort of skills already. So we just to be clear, we do the 3-year degrees for the undergraduate programs, but for engineering, we give, it's an integrated master's degree. So it is 4 years, but they get an undergraduate and a master's degree as one package. So we offer a lot of different delivery modes that give different experiences. And that's another really important thing, is it's about flexibility. It's about saying, you know, what does the student want to get out of this? And how quickly do they want to move out of, you know, their degree and into an employment situation? Or do they want to stay a little longer, get a further degree, say the integrated master's, and then move on to industry? So I think the key thing here is flexibility. And we are constantly looking at Southampton as to how to integrate more flexibility in order to meet more students' needs.
Well, I mean, nonetheless, though, Harvard Business Review points out that there's a whole raft of competitors, small and nimble, very well-funded, that offer things like, boot camps, last-mile trainings, access to digital jobs, even sharing-based programs. The Lambda School is one example. Apprenticeship programs that are actually run and managed by recruitment firms, which is hugely interesting because those are not your traditional educational providers. And of course, there's all these things which are evolutionary in nature and really responsive to the zeitgeist, because obviously, you know, tertiary institutions, being as storied as they are also burdened by legacy systems. And it's very hard to unbundle some of those, that thinking. Again, I mean, how would you respond?
Yeah, I would say there are different models. So, I mean, I would agree with you that there are different models. So there are apprenticeship models of learning that actually have some of the apprenticeship models have the student actually in the workplace the entire time that they're doing their degree. Some of them have them for part of that time. Some of them do it, again, in a very different way. So you have apprenticeship models, you have online learning. I worked at, you know, the Open University for many years in the UK, and that's a very different model as well. And I think all of those models are important. It's important, you know, it isn't one size fits all and everybody should do one thing. But actually what we want to make sure of is in the model that we do, that we're making sure that there's as much flexibility as possible. The students have as much industry experience as they're going through their studies and connection and building up those employability. And so for the students who want to do, you know, the foundation and undergraduate and postgraduate degree in that model, Southampton offers a model that really gives them a lot of experiences and support throughout that. Something else I would say that I think is probably worth noting, just in case we sort of didn't touch on it, is the digital experience. So through COVID, we have all moved. There's been a huge shift to embracing that sort of digital platform. Very much before, there were universities that did face-to-face, universities that did online. And those two didn't always there wasn't a lot of blending of those. What we're seeing now is the use of much more kind of hybrid, so face-to-face models, but with some hybrid elements, which actually has added a lot of value as well to the way that we do things. And that's another aspect of flexibility and, you know, a different kind of learning that sort of blend that actually in a lot of ways has added additional value. So it's great. One of the things that Southampton does so well is it looks at new trends, it looks at new opportunities, and it takes those, and it's very flexible and very agile, and it ensures that the students benefit from those sort of new experiences.
On The Grill this morning, we are talking to Professor Rebecca Taylor, the Chief Executive of the University of Southampton in Malaysia. Now, we've got a couple of minutes left. Rebecca, just want to get into your head in terms of one of the biggest elephants in the room where tertiary education is concerned, and that's the cost, yeah? I think typical first year, in fact, annual fees for a degree from the University of Southampton is expressed in terms of pounds sterling, about £10,000 a year, another £10,000 maybe for living costs. If you do your degree, at least part of it in the UK, it's never been cheap, and they keep on going up every year. I mean, how would you address concerns, especially at a time when livelihoods have been threatened because of COVID, that academia and tertiary education is just not worth the money anymore?
So I wouldn't agree that it's not worth the money, but I agree with you that what we need to do is we need to be, you know, always mindful that it's an expensive investment. It's something that it is definitely an investment. So you're absolutely right that's a choice. That's a decision that people need to make. And so what we do again is we're very aware of that, and we try to make sure that we offer as much flexibility and support as possible. So just a few examples. We offer at Southampton the 2+2, where students are able to come and study the first 2 years at Southampton in engineering and then transition and do 2 years in the UK. So that actually makes the whole degree, it's the same degree as studying it entirely in the UK, but it's much more cost effective. So that's an option. We do 3+0s for some of our other programs where you can study the whole degree, so at a lesser cost here in Malaysia, or you can transfer just for 1 year. And so that's enough. So these are all things where we're looking at how do we help families manage cost and, you know, get different experiences, but also, and especially also sort of thinking of some of the challenges that people have had with jobs and losing businesses and some of the real challenges around the kind of financial situation as a result of, especially as a result of COVID, or most recently because of COVID, is doing things like offering flexible payment options, which we didn't do before, but also revamping our scholarship system. So really making sure that there's a range of scholarships for students and they can benefit from those. That also helps with this financial situation as well.
Well, it was a huge pleasure chatting with you. Good luck with getting, you know, returning to the new normal, Rebecca. And thank you for your thoughts.
Thank you for having me.
I was talking to Professor Rebecca Taylor, the Chief Executive of the University of Southampton, Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.